Good morning, Faith family.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Youth Sunday is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I was reflecting on last week. I had made a comment that there's no junior Holy Spirit, but that when a youth chooses to be in relationship with God and to obey, it's a full Holy Spirit empowering these kids. The same power that lived in the apostles, the same power that lives in any pastor, it's in a child when they give their heart to Christ. It's in your life when you give your heart to Christ. And we've been doing a series this month on parenting in an effort to better understand the character of God, who He is, and how we should imitate Him. Last week, we looked at the Proverbs to see the two paths that Proverbs lays out. And a parent calling out to say, will you please, please take the path of life instead of the path of death. And even if we parent perfectly, it's still up to that child to make that choice. You can't make it for them. Their heart has to respond on their own to the Lord. Unfortunately, many of us know a child or a grandchild whose heart has not yet responded to the Lord. I'll show you this next slide. We were talking about that window of 4 to 14. It's interesting. It picks up here at 15. An alarming statistic that 2 out of every 3 kids are going to either permanently or temporarily leave the church when they get the keys to the car and they get to start making their own decisions. This was done from Barna Research Group over 8 national studies, and this was in 2011. The more recent stuff is showing probably more 3 out of 4. And so, what do we do? What do we do when someone our heart longs for is not responding to the Lord? That's what we're going to look at today. I had a moment this last week where Hosanna got outside of eyesight, and I went to catch up with her, and she wasn't where I thought she was going to be. I should have assumed she'd be over with her favorite toy, but she wasn't. And when I got there and I realized she wasn't there, my heart started to race. Parents, have you ever misplaced a child for a second? My heart started to race. It actually hurt. And I felt this dread of, I could lose her forever. And I reflected on this sermon today. What does God feel when He looks at someone that's away from home, wondering, I could lose them forever? That's the heart of the Father that we're going to look at this morning. This is a picture painted on a 6x8 foot canvas in oil from a man named Rembrandt. You see, we're not the first generation to explore this concept of a lost child. This was 1600 years ago. No, not 600. This was in the 1600s, sorry, that this was painted. It was painted in the last year of this man's life as he was reflecting on what really matters in life, about being able to go home with the Father. And you'll see this prodigal child returning home to his father, and his right shoe is halfway broken up, his left shoe's totally fallen off. He's traveled quite a far ways from home in this painting, but he finally got back to the Father. I read a book from Henry Nouwen, who traveled all the way to St. Petersburg, Russia, to stare at this original painting. He was having a bit of a spiritual crisis in his life. He retired from Harvard, decided to go work in a disability center in France. And he was trying to figure out, what does it really mean to go home? So he decided to spend an entire afternoon watching the sun go down on the museum as he looked at this painting. As the sun started to break through the light of the windows, he started to see the people in the background. The elder brother to the side who could care less that his brother had returned. And the stark contrast of a father willing to embrace a son that came home. To help this Sunday, I'm going to actually turn over the core message here to one of our youth. And so Danny Mayer is one of our youth. And he's going to be sharing his reflections, not only in the 1600s were they asking this question and telling stories of a child returning home, but Danny's going to share some stories of his own here. So let's pray for Danny here. Lord, I thank you for Danny's willingness to bring your word to us this morning, and I pray you give us hearts to listen to your voice that says to return home. May we hear the voice of the Father and maybe imitate it as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello? Oh, it is on. Okay. All right. How's everyone doing? That's good. I just want to share something with you quick. My parents have no idea I'm doing this, so surprise. Remember that day I skipped the first part of school to go eat Hardee's with Pastor Rob? Well, this is what I've been doing, sermon planning. So, if I'm ever skipping school or out late, don't worry, I'm just doing a sermon. So, I had this idea a while back when we brought up Youth Sunday. I'm usually doing worship, playing guitar, but the last time I played guitar was actually during Youth Sunday last year. So I'm not used to playing it. And I felt God had put it on my heart, just say something. So I brought it up to Rob, and Rob's like, oh, well, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, that's a good question. I don't have the answer for it. So I kept praying. And the first word that popped up in my head every time was the word love. And I'm like, do you think you could elaborate more on that, God? And he's like, nope. So I guess we're just going to be sending it here, but let's start off by praying and inviting God into space. Hey God, I just want to thank you for the beautiful morning outside, and I pray that we have an equally as beautiful moment inside as it is outside. I pray that if I say anything stupid, please have everyone forget it. And I just want to thank you for loving us and caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let me first start off by telling you guys a story. So this story is about a little boy. This boy was someone who grew up in the church. The boy loved Jesus, and he loved him with all of his heart. However, as he grew, he would often feel like he would be left out of things. He was never chosen first for anything, and people would sometimes pick on him because he was a little bit bigger than everyone else. This made him really sad, and he often felt alone. He knew that people loved him, but he also had a hole in his heart, and he didn't know how it could be healed. So the boy went looking for pleasures only the world could offer. He fell into an awful sin, and he couldn't find his way out of the hole he had dug himself into. Until one summer, he went to a certain camp, and this was a Christian camp. The boy had been going for years and wasn't expecting a big God moment. However, God had other plans in store for him. One night, the counselors and the campers were around a campfire, and the counselors were sharing their testimonies. And one of the counselors had a testimony that was very similar to this camper. But later that evening, after everything was said and done, the campers had the option to go back to the cabin or stay and pray or just talk. The boy wanted to go back to the cabin and mess around with his friends, but something deep down in his heart told him he was right where he needed to be. Moments later, the counselor who had the similar testimony to the boy came up to him and talked about how God isn't mad or angry. He's just waiting for you to come running back home to him. He explained that he's been waiting every day and every night and won't rest until you're in his arms again. The boy instantly felt an overwhelming feeling of love wash over him, like a feeling like he was no longer alone. You know that scene in The Grinch when his heart grew 3 sizes? That's exactly how the boy felt. And from that moment on, he accepted Jesus into his heart. From that day on, he knows he's never alone. He knows that even though times may be tough, Jesus is fighting his battles for him. Now, almost 8 years later, this boy is standing and speaking right in front of you. Now, each of you has a different story. That makes each of us special and unique and amazing. However, I think all of us can connect to a few different stories in the Bible. First one I'd like to share is Luke chapter 15, 11 through 24. That is the prodigal son. And it starts off with, says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth on wild living." I think all of us can connect to that part. All of us have left God. All of us have turned our back on him. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. He began to be in need, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. This is kind of like when we're desperate. Sometimes we always put God last, but he should be our first option. We put him as our last option, but he should be our first. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here, I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, and filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and was found.' So they began to celebrate." You see, in this story, we are the younger son. Each of us has taken a road and have tried to leave God behind. Each of us thinks that our own way is the best way. Each of us don't feel worthy enough to come back to him. But what does this chapter say? The father was waiting for him to come back. When he was still far away, the father ran towards him and met him with open arms. In the same way, God is waiting for us, waiting for us to come running back to him. The story teaches us something very important about God's love. No matter what we've done, God never stops loving us. He's always ready to forgive us when we're sorry, just like the dad in the story. And not only does he forgive us, but he also celebrates when we come back to him. Yeah. That's how much he loves us. Now let me read you another passage. This one's very similar, but also very different. It's Hosea chapters 1 through 3, but there's some verses. It's not all of them, but yeah. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." And that is exactly like us. We're kind of like the promiscuous woman in the story, because we think our own way is the best way. Anyway, the Lord said to me, "Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. I was talking to Rob about this the other day. I thought it was a typo or something. The sacred raisin cakes. They must really love their raisin cakes, but... But yeah, in this story, we are the adulteress, and we try and leave God over and over and over again. But God keeps on running after us, every single time. Then he says, chapters 3, verse 2, "So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver. Then I told her, 'You are live. You are to live many days. You must not be a prostitute or intimate with any man, and I will behave the same towards you.'" You see, God bought us for a price too. When Gomer left Hosea and went to live with someone else, Hosea did something awesome. He bought her back, showing how much he loved her. And just like Hosea, God made a payment too, except this payment was with his son. Now, what is love? We've been talking a lot about love, right? Well, let's see how the Bible describes it. One of the most well-known verses in the entire Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Let's break this down a little bit. God loved us so, so much that he sent Jesus, he sent his own child to go and do what we couldn't, and that was be perfect. There's this quote I heard once: nails didn't keep Jesus on the cross, love did. We often take this for granted. Jesus didn't have to take up the cross. God doesn't need us. He wants us because he loves us. Now, some may say, what we've done is too bad. I could never go back to God with all the awful things I've done. There's no chance God could ever love me. Now, this is my mom's mirror. And let me ask you guys something. If I have this mirror right here, and I stare right at it, and I go walking towards the stage, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, I'm going to fall off. So you can't keep looking behind you throughout life. You have to start learning to put the mirror down and looking forward. God doesn't remember your sins, so why do you? And just like the prodigal son returned to his father, all God wants is for you to come back home to him. And, yeah. That's all I have, I think so.
Thank you, Danny. Thanks for teaching us from the Word, and also the example of courage to share with us this morning. I appreciate that. I'm going to tie this into the parenting theme to close us out. Talking about God's love, his character. And now we look at how do we imitate that as parents, as grandparents, or even just as a fellow human on the planet amongst a lot of prodigals. So I've got 7 tips for us here, looking at the heart of the Father and how we can emulate that. Now this first one, in some ways, is to be an example and a model of how we relate to the Father. It surprises me how often we expect children to know how to ask for forgiveness when they don't see it. I remember being a high school basketball coach and realizing that I expected my players to be able to miss a shot and keep their head up. And yet I remember one time we lost the game because I called a bad play. And there I was, hanging my head. And I realized, I need to talk to my team. I need to be the example here. And so this first one I would recommend, if you know someone in your life, a child or a grandchild who's walked away from the Lord, they might not want to talk about the Lord. They might be closed off. Okay? But you can make sure that there's no other hindrance to them understanding the character of God. by going to them and saying, you know what? Let me own the ways that I have not imitated the character of God. Because that might free them up to better understand who the character of God really is. So I would recommend saying, you know what, prodigal? Let me own a couple parts here. Let me help you differentiate between who God is, who your mom and dad is, and let me model to you forgiveness I've received from Him. I'm asking from you. The second one is the unconditional love that we see in this story. I call this keeping the door open. Giving that child or grandchild, here's the next step if you want to come home. Doesn't mean that they can come in whichever way they want. But you say, child, here's the next step. You would always know that there is a path out of death into life, and here it is. That I will always love you and always hope that you take that path. Third one is not to bail them out in the consequences of their sin. The father didn't do that in this story, right? He let them smell the mud. And I'm sure it was more than just mud that he smelled. When someone chooses sin in the path of death, it stinks. You got to let them see that it stinks. My mom had a prayer next to her sink in the kitchen. And the prayer had something to the effect of, I pray that my boys would find out that sin stinks. May they find no satisfaction in it. May it be horrible for them. Something to the effect. And I always blame that for the reason I always got caught. Let them smell the mud. You got to let them deal with those consequences that they might come to their senses. Fourthly, prove there is a better way. We had a pastor's panel this last week with seven other pastors in town at the Windsor Theater, and people would ask questions. And one of the questions was, how do I get my adult child to go to church? My answer there, I thought about it, was, if you're going to claim that Jesus is the source of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, if you're claiming that Jesus is that source for them, prove it in your life. Show them love and joy and peace and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Prove that in your life. Show them that it works. It's not a good testimony to claim Jesus is those things and then be grumpy all the time. Give them a reason to want that too. And show it in your life. Fifth one, careful what you say. This will be interesting for you, but the question is, do you talk about the church the way God would talk about His church? As God would talk about His bride or His child, do you talk about the church that way? And I read one comment this week where someone says, you know, they said, my mom is a funny person. She tells me how the preaching's subpar at her church, and that the ladies bicker, And on she goes of the problems at her church. And then she doesn't understand why I don't want to go. I think that's a reminder to say, if you want your child to see a relation with God and see the family of God the way God views it, we got to be careful that we talk about it that way to them. Otherwise, we shouldn't be surprised if they agree with us. Next one, leave them a note. A week or two ago, I met with someone who wanted to talk about their funeral. It looked healthy to me. But she really wanted to think through, what is her family going to hear from her? And I think that's very insightful. Because often the time that a prodigal is going to listen to you the most, it's going to be when they sit here and they hear your obituary read. And they hear what your life was about. That is going to be the most tender moment in your relationship with them. And you have an opportunity to leave them a note. In that moment, you can tell them, you can send it to them now, you can send it to your funeral home that you've chosen. Just put it in your Bible, but leave them a note that calls them back to God. And lastly, pray with faith. There's a lot of examples of parents coming to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, Jesus, my son continues to throw himself into the fire and he gets hurt. Jesus, Jesus, my daughter has died. Jesus, Jesus, please help my child." And God responds to that faith. I believe there's a special ear God has to the prayer of a mom and a dad, the ear of a grandpa and a grandma. And so we have to pray with faith, acknowledging the character of God, that he cares more than we do about this child. For many years, my mom was part of a weekly group with other moms to pray for her kids. And she didn't wait before they went astray. She knew that they needed help right away. Maybe that's part of raising four boys, I don't know. But they'd gather and they'd pray. And they'd pray and they'd pray. And I want to encourage all of you for the prayers that you've made on behalf of loved ones. That those prayers are going to follow that person the rest of their life. Whether you see its fruition or not, they're going to have a really hard time outrunning the speed of those prayers. Because God hears them whether he answers right away or not. There's so many stories of prodigals over the years. In a way, each one of us is a prodigal who's gone astray and returned to God. And so in this last slide, I want to make a promise on behalf of our church. If you're here today as a visitor or someone who's a prodigal, I want to make a promise to you on behalf of the character of God. That promise is that if you return home to the Father, that even while you're far way off, we will be filled with love and compassion and run to you and embrace you. Because that's the heart of the Father and what he is doing according to this scripture. And as a faith family, that is what we are going to do. And so the rest of you, take note of the promise I just made on our behalf. That even if someone comes from the pig pen, especially if someone comes from the pig pen, it's time to get these nice shirts and shoes dirty and go embrace that person and to say, "Welcome home to Faith Family." That's what we're about. This week we have an opportunity as elders and some of the deacons to go to a conference about being a church that connects invitationally to the world we're called to serve. And so we encourage you to pray for us as we're at that conference this Thursday and Friday, as we think through as a church how we're going to be a part of this. But it's going to be something we're going to do together for our children, for our grandchildren, and for those in this town that are far from God. Because that's the heart of our Father. So let's pray. Lord, as Danny said, we take it for granted far too often that it was the love that you had for us that kept you on the cross. We thank you, Father, for running to us. For embracing us. For loving us. And may we be a faith family whose heart beats just like yours, whose feet run just like yours, whose arms embrace just like yours. Lord, let love be alive in our church today. In Jesus' name, amen.